The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter beginning at the first verse. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the gospel of the Lord. I speak to you in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the reasons people love Christmas so much is that it's a time when we tell stories. Stories about Christmas's past, stories about Santa and the reindeer. Every Christmas, it's as though we become just like little children, all over again. During these 12 days of Christmas, we wander down that pathway of rich imagination, wonder, and delightful joy as we hear again the miraculous story about God's love come down from heaven above in the form of a human baby. Today, I'd like to retell that ancient story in a slightly different, perhaps more creative way, a way that I hope you will be able to use your imaginations with, and I hope it will bring you special meaning on this Christmas day. So let's begin as all good stories begin. Once upon a time, before time itself, before there were clocks or calendars or even Christmas trees, God was all there was. No one knows anything about that time because no one was there to tell about it. But somewhere, way back, even before time, God decided to create a world. I don't know why. Perhaps he was bored or lonely, or perhaps he just liked to make things and thought that it was time to make something really big. Whatever his reason was, God made a world. This world, our world, and filled it with some of the most astonishing things. Humpback whales that sing, white-striped skunks that stink, kangaroos with pouches for their young, camels with two humps to carry their own water supply, and, of course, birds with more colors on them than a box of Crayola crayons. When God sat down and he looked at everything that he made, he said to himself, "This is all very good. However, something is missing." Everything he'd made was interesting and beautiful, and it all fit together quite well. But there was nothing in the world that resembled him. It's as if he had painted this huge masterpiece and then completely forgot to sign it. So he got busy making his signature piece, something made in his own image that anyone who looked at it would know exactly who the artist was. At first, he had a single thing in mind, but then he realized that one thing alone would not provide the kind of companionship that the other thing would need. After all, he knew what it was like to be alone. But now that he'd made this entire world, he knew what it was like to have companions. And companions were definitely far better. So he decided to make two things instead of one, alike but different, both reflections of him, a man and a woman, who would be good company not only for each other, but would also be really good company for him. Flesh was what he made them out of. Flesh and blood, to be exact. A wonderful medium, extremely flexible, warm to the touch. And watching his two creatures stretch and yawn, run and laugh, to his surprise, he discovered that it wasn't long before he found himself falling completely in love with them. He liked being with them better than he liked being with any of the other creatures he'd made. And he especially enjoyed walking with them and talking with them in his special garden, the garden called Eden, in the cool of the day. Then you can imagine how it absolutely broke his heart when they got together behind his back and did the one thing that he'd asked them not to do, and then to try to hide themselves from him after they'd done it. Everything changed dramatically after that. God still loved his human creatures, but the attraction was not mutual. Birds, well, they were crazy about him. Dolphins and raccoons, tigers and zebras, elephants and giraffes, they just couldn't get enough of him. But human beings, well, that's another story. They had other things on their minds. They were busy learning how to make things and build things and grow things and how to buy things and sell things. And the more that they learned to do for themselves, the more independent they became, and less they depended upon God. Day after day, night after night, he would invite them to talk with him or to go for a walk with him. But they kept on saying, "Sorry, we're way too busy. We have so many other things that we need to do and accomplish. No time for you." Well, before long, most of them forgot about him altogether. They began to call themselves self-made. Self-made men and women. They honestly believed that they'd created themselves. And they liked the result so much that they divided themselves into groups of people who looked alike, who thought alike, who talked alike, who acted alike. And you wouldn't believe the trouble that got them into. Everything from racial discrimination, dividing whole cities, states, and even countries right down the middle, to senseless acts of violence, killing one another in the streets, to nations going to war against other nations. Even married couples Brothers and sisters, parents and children, and entire families found themselves quarreling, arguing, fighting with one another. Well, God would have put an end to all of that right then and there, except for one thing. When he created these human beings, he made them free. Free to make their own decisions, free to make their own choices. It was built right into them. You might say it was right in their DNA. So God let them be free. But it hurt him deeply to see what they were doing with one another. So he tried to get their attention by using every means he possibly could. He sent famines and floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, volcanoes, fires, tsunamis, and of course, all kinds of terrible diseases. He even tried sending the prophets as his messengers just to get their attention. Through them, he would say, "Please stop doing these things before you completely destroy yourselves." God would say, "I love you as much today as I did the very day that I created you." But his words seemed to fall on deaf ears. No matter what he tried to do, he always came up with the same barrier. Human beings were made out of flesh and blood, but he wasn't, which made getting through to them extremely difficult. There was, however, one exception to this rule. We hear him right out there. Babies. Babies. While their parents were all but deaf to God's messages, babies didn't have any trouble hearing them. All the time they were laughing at God's jokes or crying with him when he cried. Babies didn't want to go to war. They never said critical things about each other or refused to play with each other because their skin was a different color or because perhaps they spoke a different language. Besides that, everyone just seemed to love babies, which gave God this incredible idea. Why not make himself into one of these delightful little creatures? So he tried out the idea on his archangels. At first, they didn't say a word, totally silent. Finally, the senior archangel stepped forward to speak for the others. He told God how much they would worry about him if he did that, because he'd be putting himself at the mercy of his creatures. People could do most anything they wanted to do with him. And if he seriously meant to become one of them, there would be no escape for him whatsoever if things went wrong, if things went awry. Well, after a lot of discussion, the senior archangel said that he actually thought that the whole baby idea was a stroke of genius, but that God should be ever so careful because it lacked adequate safety features and because it would make him extremely vulnerable. So God thanked the archangels for their concern, but said no. No, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do this anyway. How else could he gain the trust of his creatures? How else could he persuade them that he knew them better than they knew themselves, unless he became one of them and lived like one of them in that world that he had created? Sure, there was a risk involved. He knew that, but that was part of what he wanted his creatures to know, that he was willing to become vulnerable, to risk everything just to get close to them, to become one of them, in the hope that they might love him back as they once loved him. It was a daring plan, and once the angels saw that God was determined to do it, they broke into a thunderous applause. While they were still clapping, God turned around left the heavens, shedding his robes as he went, with the angels watching as his midnight blue mantle fell to the floor, so that all the stars on it collapsed into one big heap, forming one bright, beautiful, white star. Then a very strange thing happened. Where the robes had fallen, the floor of heaven had melted away and opened up to reveal a scrubby brown pasture filled with speckled black and white sheep. And right there in the middle of them were a handful of shepherds sitting around a campfire, drinking wine, singing songs, telling stories. It would be hard to say who was more startled, the shepherds or the angels. But as the shepherds gazed upward at them, the angels pushed their senior member to the very edge of that opening. And looking down upon those shepherds, huddled together in great fear and trembling, the angel said in as gentle a voice as he could possibly muster, because you know angels have huge, voluminous voices, "Do not be afraid," he said, "for I bring you good news of a great joy that shall come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And off in the distant hills, in the direction of a small, sleepy Judean town, came a stirring sound. Listen carefully. There it is. Can you hear it? It's the sound of a newborn baby's